meeting of the University City Council to order at this time. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Carr.
Present.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Before you, you have the agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes to the agenda as presented? Mr. McMahon?
Nope.
No. Hearing none. Motion to approve the agenda. Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Thank you very much. The ayes have it. We have no proclamations this evening. You have before you the minutes of the study session of June the 18th. A motion that the minutes be approved. Motion by Ms. Carr. Second by Mr. Cusick. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? What about the June 11th minutes? Are those, Ms. Reese, those are in our packet as well. Have we already done those? Thank you. We have no appointments to boards and commissions at this time. Is John Tiemann in the audience? Thank you very much. Will you please come forward? Ms. Reese will swear you into the Arts and Letters Commission.
I, John Samuel Tiemann, do solemnly swear that I possess all the qualifications and am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of the university.
That I will support the Constitution of and laws of the United States and the state of Missouri and the charter and ordinances of University City. That I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice. Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to serve. We will now move to the citizen participation segment of the agenda. There are sign-up sheets for those people who would like to speak either to agenda items or non-agenda items. When you come to address the council, would you please state your name and address? And each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to speak. Our first speaker for this evening is Mr. Tim Parson.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully it won't be as cut short like it was where other people were given longer time to speak. But one of the things that was stated, they said about, I guess, one of the people that were going to do the buyout was that, you know, this was a great idea and things like that, which this gives University City to become a utopia. Well, I mean, in order to become a utopia, you have to deal with public safety. And the issue of public safety cannot be addressed when you have things such as things that are charged criminally to people that should not be charged criminally. Speeding is not a crime, but yet it's considered a crime. And no city around the United States no city around the United States because there's no lesser of a crime. Speeding is considered a criminal offense, so it's no different from rape or burglary. But yet cities around the United States are willing to take pay for it. That's a huge issue. So when you're talking about public safety, you got a lot of issues here which are just made to really make profits for the city, and that's one of them. It should be a civil offense. It should not be anything that's charged criminally, and you have people that are going to jail for it. In addition, you mentioned about having the police department build in the third ward. Well, you would need to have some type of provision and to let people know what exactly in the document so that nothing with this eminent domain happens. You hear it all the time, oh, this is not going to happen. But if it's not in writing and it's not held where people are held accountable, you do not know what's exactly going to happen. People say one thing and they do another, and people want to have good intentions, but sometimes that doesn't always happen. And really, to change things and make the city a lot more better, you need to have ordinances, like I've said before, that hold police officers accountable. It's an interesting dichotomy when a police officer takes an oath to be in office, but yet he's enforcing ordinances that he doesn't take an oath to. That's very interesting that you would take an oath to something that you are not enforcing. So I think there's a long way to go as far as public safety has to go. There needs to be changes to hold police officers accountable. And most of the time, people just turn a naked and blind eye to it because they don't really want to deal with the situation or what's really behind it that causes a lot of these issues. And like I said, a lot of these issues can simply be dissipated because they're not criminal offenses. Most of the time, they're just civil offenses, and they're charged criminally, which, like I said, there's no lesser of a crime. So, I mean, there's no difference between getting a speeding ticket and getting charged with rape. But yet, cities are willing to take payment for that. That's a huge issue that needs to be addressed. I mean, if you're going to have something like that, you need to look at that and take a better look at what you're charging people criminally for. Because a lot of things people should not be charged criminally for that are actually charged criminally for. And speeding is subject to someone causing injury or doing damage to someone's property. It's not based off of what a police officer thinks when he pulls you over. It's not interpretation to what he thinks. And everybody deserves to be treated fair in that aspect, in that regard, and treated with respect. And until we address these ordinances and get these things together to start holding them accountable for the position that, in which they say that they're going to do, and which in, that is to protect and serve, then nothing's going to change. We're not going to create this utopia. We're not going to create this new environment. But we have an opportunity to do that and do them right. But you can't make change without changing and starting from the bottom and working your way towards the top. You have to change systematic things that have caused things to be this way. And you have the opportunity to do that. And until that gets addressed and people start being held accountable at all levels, you're not going to have that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next speaker for citizen comments is Mr. Tom Sullivan.
Tom Sullivan, 751 Syracuse. As you know, the Missouri Attorney General is investigating complaints filed against the city for several Sunshine Law violations. It seems there is a need by city officials to cover up a lot of information, even if it violates the law. If the proposed Olive 170 development is such a great project, why the need to keep information from the public? Given the history of the developer, public scrutiny is especially important. Also, the magnitude of the proposed development means the public should be more informed especially since there was no public input in the planning. Now the city wants to hire a public information officer. I don't think that will help. When you cover up information and deceive the public, more PR isn't the answer. One way to get some credibility is to make the promises on eminent domain legal, put them in an ordinance. The city should stand by its initial pledge of only using eminent domain for public storage. That was the promise the entire Olive 170 development was based on. That should be what's in the ordinance. I think Novus has been promised eminent domain will be used if needed, though you don't want to admit it. That might be why Councilwoman Carr needs to keep her emails covered up. The unofficial policy is we will absolutely, positively not use eminent domain unless it's needed. If that's not the case, then put it in an ordinance to back up what you are saying. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Next citizen to speak is Aaron Ginsburg.
Hi there. My name is Aaron Ginsburg. I live at 430 West Point Court, and I am here to thank Mayor Terry Crow, Councilman Boyne Smotherson, and Councilman Stacy Clay for sponsoring two meetings, one on Wednesday, August the 8th at 6 p.m., and one on Friday, August the 17th at 6 p.m., so that we can participate in, well, we being everyone, but especially our Third Ward residents, regarding the proposed development at Olive and 170. So, thank you.
Thank you. Our final citizen who has submitted to speak is Steve Glicker.
Good evening. Steve Glicker, 7750 Blackberry. I appear up here about every 4 to 5 years, all on the same subject. It's the 800 block of Warder and its condition. And it was prompted by an email that was sent to one of my neighbors stating that we're going to get that done. I just laughed at her and reminded her of my 24-year endeavor on this. It started with just a trash job by the city where they put tar and rock on the street 24 years ago. We had tar on our cars, we had rocks on our cars, we had rocks in our cars, we had rocks in our house. There was no compression to where those two materials adhered to each other. They just splashed the tar, dumped the rock, and left. Terrible job. 2000, we had what was called MicroSeal. Well, they didn't repair the sub base. They put this, it looks like a paint job. Within 2 weeks, that MicroSeal was cracked. Waste of time, energy, resources. Now she's telling me that we're going to get this done. I don't think so. I've been on this for 24 years and it hasn't happened. 3.5 years ago, I brought this point up. About 4 months after that, a bunch of material or equipment showed up at the bottom of the hill on Balson. They paved the 600 and 700 block of Warder that didn't require it at the time. Meanwhile, Warder continues to deteriorate. You pave the 800 block of Greenshire Court. It's a cul-de-sac with 12 houses. It carries no traffic. The street was fine. You pave the 800 block of Duke. There are 9 houses. No traffic. Warder carries an inordinate amount of traffic, hundreds of cars a day. Trucks, all the neighbors on that street, all the neighbors on Stanford, Balson, they all use that street because it runs from Blackberry to Delmar. No stoplights. This continues year after year. On June 13th, I got a call from my mom to move her car on the 6700 block of Etzel because they were going to reseal. Everyone on that street was inconvenienced. You know what happened? They didn't show up. I had to be in Columbia, Missouri that morning at 7:30, so I had to get my rear end over there at 4:30 to accommodate the city. I don't even live on that street, and I was inconvenienced. At the same time, you're sealing the 7,700 block through 8,000 block, maybe even 8,100 block, of Balsam, Stanford, Cornell, and Gannon for the second time. They were stripped off and repaved 2 years ago and sealed last summer and sealed again this summer while the rest of us get screwed. Now, I've been asking for the street to get repaired for 24 years, and you keep pulling out of the hat the same names. Gannon was repaired. Put it back in there. Gannon. Did you not notice that? You live on that street. So what I'm recommending is, since this is the administration of transparency, can you publish the paving schedule so we can watch, we can compare, we can look at streets. If there's some kind of criteria or procedure that you go through, I don't know if there is. It just seemed like there's a random draw. That way we can watch what's going on, and everyone can see, and we'll be able to find out when the 7900 block of Gannon gets another paving. It's been a month. I'm sure you're incensed. It's been 24 years for me.
Thank you very much. The citizen participation now has ended. We will move into the public hearing section of the agenda. I would like to open the public hearing on the Hopcat liquor license at 6317 Del Mar Boulevard. Ms. Reese, are there any requests to speak?
None at this time.
I apologize. I opened the meeting at 6:46. There are no requests to speak. Seeing no requests to speak, I will close the meeting at the same time period. I would now like to open the public hearing on the Blue Box Pizza liquor license located at 6394 at 6:47 p.m. Are there any requests to speak, Ms. Reese?
None at this time.
If there are no requests to speak, then I declare the public hearing closed at 6:47. Thank you very much for the public hearing section. You have before you now the consent agenda, item J, with six items before it. A motion that the consent agenda be approved. Motion by Mr. McMahon, a second by Ms. Carr. Do you have a comment?
Yes, sir. Honorable Mayor, Council Members, I did just want to bring attention to item number one up under the consent agenda. Wanted to recognize that there was a public hearing that was held on June 11th of 2018 to receive public comments regarding how those CDBG funds would be used.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Normally on the consent agenda, there is no discussion. If you want, you can move, you can ask that an item be moved from the consent agenda to the regular agenda then for a discussion purpose. You have six items before you on the consent agenda. A motion has been made and seconded. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed?
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you very much. You now have before you the city manager's report. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and council members, there is one item up under the city manager's report. It's a change order for Project 1363 asphalt improvement at various locations. I would ask Mr. Tate to come and present this item. We received better bids than what we had anticipated, which enables us to add additional streets to our listing of streets that we intend to improve this year. And so I'm asking Mr. Tate to come up and just give an overview of the streets that will be included for this year, additional streets that will be included in this year's paving projects.
Could you please turn on the microphone, please? And name.
Good evening, Council. All right. So this spring, we received good bids from our asphalt overlay project. We had two types of pavement in that bid. So we had a Nova Chip, and then we had a full-depth asphalt overlay and resurface project. So with the bids coming in at about $460,000. We had $700,000 for the budget, and so we decided to go out to bid to cover some of those streets that are not in such bad deterioration, so such as water, which we just heard about. Vestries included in this year's project as well. So we got Water, Coolidge, Waterman, Milan, Wilshire, 82nd Street, Teasdale, Dover, Balson, Ahern, Shaftesbury, Lafon, Richard, Orchard, Mona, Gannon, Camden, Dartmouth, and Tulane, which will receive that NovaChip treatment on it, which is a thin layer of asphalt which can be covered over those streets that are not totally deteriorated but can cover and prevent preventable maintenance pretty much. So,
Mr. Tate, does that include the 800 block of water?
Yes. Yes.
I thought that it did, but I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you.
That will be one of our first streets we take care of. So.
Okay. Mayor, with that in mind, I'm recommending approval of the change order for the ultra-thin bond asphalt wearing surface to NB West Contracting in the amount of $1,510.
Thank you very much. Is there a motion for the motion by Ms. Carr? Is there a second by Mr. Hales? Ms. Carr, do you have a...
Yes, I do, Mayor. Thank you. We're looking at Warder. I also live near Warder, within a couple of blocks of that particular section that Mr. Glickert was discussing. And the street is indeed in pretty bad condition, at least to my eye and my driving. So will the NovaChip actually work to solve the problem, or do we need a more extensive repair?
You'll have to come to the Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Carr. I'll have Mr. Tate respond to that, but while he's on his way, my understanding of the approach that they're using for sealing our streets is effective. So, Mr. Tate, would you like to add on to that?
Councilwoman Carr, so what we would do is those areas that are very bad, we'll do basic repairs on those first, and then the edge will get milled about 4 feet out on each side, and then we'll apply the NovaChip to it. If you've been down Woodson lately, where they did that new pavement, that's the material that we'll be using on Water.
So. Okay, so just because this is not my field of expertise, and so the repairs would actually not be the cold repairs that we often see, like fill that pothole and next winter.
Right, this will be the full depth repairs on those bad areas, and then we'll go over top with the NovaChip.
And the marriage of the repair to the rest of it is a pretty secure fix?
Yes, it will be once we get done with the base repair, then we come over top with that thin layer of asphalt, which will be a totally new surface.
Okay.
So no coat patch.
It will appear to the residents as if it is a newly paved street.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Cusick?
My question would be a follow-up to the same, along the same lines of Councilmember Carr, and what do we do to watch a street like that in the repair to make sure that this fix actually sticks going through a winter and then next spring? Do we make sure that that was the proper type of work to be done on that street? Is there any way to check on that? Because this again, the 800 block of water has been an ongoing problem with, we've gone in and we've done this repair or that repair, but it still looks horrible in there, and the repairs that we've done in the past were not adequate. So is there any method in place to make sure that there's a follow-up, that this really works this time?
So every 2 years, our department does a street rating review. And we have our interns go out every summer, or every other summer, and do a rating on every street in the city. And so we have a list of all those streets that are rated every other year. And Water was not one of our worst streets, so that's why it wasn't in that initial list. So every other year, so next year, Water will be rated again. So after this summer or fall, when it gets repaved, then next summer we'll determine the rating on it again.
So. And one more follow-up question, please. When they repair when the holes that are filled and then covered up, do we inspect those, or do we take the word from it from the contractors that they're doing the job correctly?
No, we have an inspector out there with the contractor.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Tate. Any other questions? Sorry, Mr. Clay.
Yes, just very
more
quickly.
More of Mr. Tate. Does he need to?
Mr. Rose may be able to field this one. But please, by all means,
it'll be a team effort.
Just in case, I'm noticing on the grid provided. I was looking. I think should this be Canton, Quindo and Waldron, the third from the bottom. It says Camden.
Camden Court?
Camden Court.
Yes.
Okay, that's Camden Court. Okay. And, okay, I just wanted to be clear about that, so it's not Camden. All right, very good. That's all I needed to know.
Thank you. Hearing no other questions, those in favor of the motion before the body, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. There is no unfinished business this evening. Under new business, we have resolution number 9360. Who would like to introduce? Mr. McMahon? Let's see. Do we need to have a
first reading?
John has a questioned look on his face.
It's an ordinance.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Bill. I apologize. Ordinance. We have the first reading, please, of the ordinance.
An ordinance authorizing the city manager to execute a rights-of-way use agreement with Missouri American Water Company.
Thank you very much. John, it's amazing that you have a puzzled look on your face, and I pause. So thank you very much. There is no other business before the body as far as ordinances and resolutions. Any council member have a report they would like to make to the body? Ms. Carr? Mr. Smotherson?
Oh, just announcing that if we get out of here early, remember that there is a concert, Arts and Letters Concerts in Heman Park, going on right now. Thank you.
Well, since there are no citizens participate that I know of left, there are no other sign-ins. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, council members, I did want to announce that we officially scheduled the community meetings, which council member Smotherson may want to, or Clay may want to address.
We can do that in council comments in just one. Hearing that, Ms. Reese, there's no one else for citizen participation, am I correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. We'll now move on to the council comments portion of the agenda. Would any of my colleagues have comments to make this evening?
Well, go ahead. I wanted to, Stacy Clay, Councilman Clay, to make that announcement about the meetings, because I wanted to address something else. So go ahead.
So very quickly, it was mentioned in citizens' comments, but on Wednesday, August 8th and Friday, August 17th, both at 6 p.m., I believe, at the Community Center. Is that correct, City Manager Rose? We will be having meetings, and the purpose is to really hear from the community what they would like to see in terms of benefits that will be in the redevelopment agreement. So we're setting up a format by which it's not just folks coming up to a podium, but small groups in which all voices will be heard. We'll have an opportunity for, we'll actually really be requesting that everyone speak. So there is really a shared vision that comes out of these meetings. So there'll be more information about that out in the community. I believe it's out on Facebook now, but did want to make folks aware of that.
Ms. Carr?
Thank you, Mayor. So many of you hear the drop and run comments of my constituent, Tom Sullivan, and I would like to respond. I have kept no emails back for which he has requested. Period. So to continue to throw that allegation around is really very disrespectful to the rest of the city. And in addition, I believe that he may not have found what he wanted, but that doesn't mean that it ever existed. So you know, to continue to say that makes no sense at all. And as everybody probably understands, a complaint was filed with the Attorney General's office on several counts. The Attorney General is taking a look into it, but that doesn't mean that it's already been decided. So I wish that Mr. Sullivan had stayed so that I could address it to him personally, but he seems to not want to do that. He seems to want to make his statement and run.
Thank you, Ms. Carr. Mr. Smotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. One of the things, I spent the holiday week, and that was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, doing something very interesting, and that was I traveled around the Third Ward and spoke with residents. in the Plymouth area and Corbett area. And so I wanted to bring this to the city manager's attention. But I also wanted to say this publicly because I want everybody to know the way that some people live in the Third Ward. And I just want you to know the conditions. And this really concerns me. So very quickly, what I will say is this. I was given a tour. I picked up a resident and given a tour. And we went by a drug house on the 6800 block of Plymouth. We went by a drug house on the 7000 block of Julian. We went by a drug house, another drug house on the 6800 block of Plymouth. We went by a house where they know they do home burglaries in the 6900 block of Plymouth. We went by another house where they know they do home burglaries, and they steal out of Snooks, and they probably ran Dollar Tree down the street. So again, very interesting, and I'd like people to really understand this. But this is the one story that I want to tell you, and I want to direct this to our city manager, and that is this is a house that sits on the corner of 6800 Plymouth, and this is a well-known house that sits on that corner, and this is known for years. It's been brought to this council's attention. It's been brought to the police department's attention. And so what I want to say is this. I actually went to the 6900 block of Plymouth, and an elderly gentleman told me about, he says that every time they gather on that corner, I will not leave my wife at home alone in the evening. Okay, did you hear what I said? That what I'm saying to you is this. He says when they gather at the 6800 block, and I'm not going to name the exact address, but it sits right on the corner, and some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, and this is going on for years. He says he will not leave his home when they gather on that corner. He will not leave his wife home alone in the evening. No one in U-City, anywhere in U-City, should live like that. Another story they told me. Recently, we had a big storm, and some of the lights went out. And you're well aware of those lights went out. Well, a lady across the street and took her child and left their home when the lights went out to stay someplace else. When she left, guess what happened? Her home got broken into that very night. I'll tell you one of the things that's what's interesting to me is I talk to a lot of the residents. They know who's doing what. They know it better than the police. I'll give you a perfect example. Years ago, my house got broken into, and the neighbor across the street came over to me. He said, "Dwayne, I won't tell you who did it, but I'll go get your stuff back." So what I will say, the last thing I'll say is this. The house on the corner of Plymouth has been talked about for years. So the only option that I want to discuss is how we take that house. That's it. I don't want to discuss anything else. What I want this council to do, not the police, because it's time for this council to take action and make our neighborhood safe. And that house would be the perfect start for that process. So thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Smotherson. None of my colleagues have made any other requests to speak. I would ask that, I know I speak on behalf of the entire council when we express our condolences to our former colleague, Councilmember Byron Price, and his wife Vera at the loss of his sister Deborah this past week. Hearing nothing else, a motion that this session be adjourned. Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Carr. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Our meeting is adjourned. Thank you for coming.